For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you and we commit this evening to you, Lord, and we open our hearts up to you to hear from the Word of God, Lord. We thank you for the power in the Word of God. It has the power to change us. And we thank you, Lord, for that, and we receive it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
But tonight we're going to look at biblical answers about love. Now, this is very important, obviously, because God, the Bible tells us, God is love. But tonight we're going to look at a number of questions about love. It's not going to cover everything, but we will look at a number of things concerning love. So this is very important. Firstly, what is love? What does the Bible say that love is? Let's have a look. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, the scripture says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." God is love, the scripture says. So, God is love, the Bible says, and it is God's nature to love. It is God's nature. Love is a powerful force, and it moves people to act. So, if we think about what is love, it is God's nature, because the Bible tells us God is love. So it's everything good and everything kind. And it is a powerful force. And that's why the Lord says to us, love is of God. And when we are born of God, we have his love in our hearts because we are born again after his nature. So we have love in our heart. And it moves people to act. What is charity? Now the Bible talks about charity. And in 1 Corinthians 13:13, the scripture says, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." And in Colossians 3:14, the scripture says, "And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." So charity is the bond. It's the thing that bonds the good qualities God has given us together. It bonds those things together. So put on charity, he says, above all. So obviously it's very important to God. Faith, hope and charity. Charity bonds them all, and the scripture says, but the greatest of these is charity. So what charity is love seen in actions. Because if we think about how is love expressed, it is expressed in the actions that we do, in the words that we say, and the actions that we do towards others, and particularly in giving. So charity is love in action. Love in action. Charity, the scripture says, is long-suffering, kind and humble. Long-suffering, kind and humble. Charity points people to the love of God. Charity points people to God's love. So you can see charity in action. Let's have a look in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. The scripture says, "And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." So that's a powerful thing that the Lord has said to us there. Charity shall cover the multitude of things, because people are obviously influenced by charity. They're influenced by charity, and God moves upon our hearts when people are acting in charity. He says to put on charity, and he says, have fervent charity above all things. Have fervent charity. So we are to be charitable people who value charity, love in action, expressed it. Because God is always acting in love. He's always showing his love. He's always showing charity. So he says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. Have fervent charity. We should be looking for opportunities to show love. To show love to people, particularly our brethren in Christ. So have fervent charity. Now let's have a look at 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. The scripture says, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. So he says the end of the commandment is charity, just like he said it is the bond of perfectness. So the end of the commandment is charity. So we know the commandment, love one another. Love God, love one another. Show love. Charity is the end of the commandment, so it has to be tied up with charity out of a perfect heart. Charity out of a perfect heart. And of good conscience, because you will keep a good conscience when you act out of love. In love, your conscience will be good because you are doing God's will. And of faith unfeigned. So it's not a pretend faith. It's not a feigned faith. It's a genuine faith. Your faith will support your work of charity. The two go together. You obviously show charity because you believe God's word. You believe in the value of it. You believe in the value of it. So faith unfeigned, it comes out of a genuine faith in God, valuing what he says. So charity is love in action, and the Lord says the greatest of these things, faith, hope and charity, the greatest of these is charity. Why is love necessary? In 1 John 4, 12b, the scripture says, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. So love one another, that's important to God. He's told us to do that. Love one another. It perfects the love of God in us. He can work in us when we're not violating the scripture to love one another. Because if we don't love each other, if we don't love God the way we should, if we don't love each other the way we should, then we are in violation of God's word. And that will hinder the work of God in our heart if we violate the scripture. So love is necessary to do the will of God. Love is necessary to do the will of God. It allows the love of God to be perfected in us. As scripture says, his love is perfected in us. Love is necessary for our faith to work. If we violate the commandment to love, then our faith is hindered. Our faith will be hindered because automatically we are violating one of the commandments that God tells us how important it is. So we must love one another. God dwelleth in us. We have God in us. We have his love in us. And his love is perfected in us. So love, why is love necessary? Love is necessary to do the will of God, to keep us in the will of God. That's why love is necessary. And in 1 John 4, verses 16 and 17, the scripture says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." So we know and we believe the love that God hath to us. We know that. We believe it. We've received Christ as Saviour. So we have to understand that God's nature is love. He that dwelleth in love, so we dwell in that the wonderful thing, love, God has given to us in our hearts, and we dwell in God. He dwells in us. And he makes our love perfect. Our love is made perfect that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because when we're not violating the scripture, we can have boldness to stand in front of God. We have boldness in the day of judgment because as he is, so are we in this world. And that is people who love. It is God's commandment that we love one another. To show love is to obey God's will. To show love to each other is to obey God's will. How are obedience to Christ and love related? The scripture says in John 14, verse 15, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." If ye love me, keep my commandments. So you can tell if a person loves Christ or not. Are they keeping the commandments of Christ? People can say things, "I'm a follower of Christ, I love Christ," but are they keeping his commandments? Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." So our love for God is shown through our obedience to him. Our love for God is shown through our obedience to God. That shows our love for him. Have a look in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. In Luke 6, verse 46, Jesus said this, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" You see, the question was asked by the Lord. If he is our Lord, we should be doing what he says. A person is not really a true follower of Christ if they don't do what he says. So he said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." If ye love me, his commandments are not grievous. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And what do we read the scripture says? That we love one another. Love God and love one another. Now love and faith are connected. Love and faith are connected. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, the scripture says, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Our faith works by love. So if we've got a problem with our faith not working, we have to see, have we violated the commandment to love? because that will stop faith. So our faith works by love. Our faith works by love. Firstly, because we love God and we believe what He says. And we believe that it's important to obey Him. So our faith works by love. So let's just check our love. How are we going with our love? Our faith works by love. Faith works by love. If we are not walking in love, we are sinning. And therefore our faith will be compromised. So God's has said it. Our faith works by love, and we can't get around that. If we are not walking in love, we are sinning. So it has to be changed. And we have to change that so that we do walk in love. Our faith worketh by love, and we don't want our faith to be compromised. God doesn't want our faith to be compromised. So see how love undergirds the faith. Our faith worketh by love. Love is what keeps the faith operating. What are the two greatest commandments? This question was asked of Jesus. And in Matthew 22, verses 37 to 39, the Lord said, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. So he told us, what are the two greatest commandments? Firstly, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. So love God first. Firstly and foremostly, love God. And out of that will come everything that God wants you to do. The second, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. And God said, Jesus said, that all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Firstly, to love God and to love your neighbour. To love God and to love your neighbour. So love God first and our neighbour second. So we ask the question, who should we love? In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, the scripture says, we love him because he first loved us. And in John 15, verse 12, the scripture says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. So firstly, love God. Who should we love? Love him. Because he first loved us. Love him. Secondly, love one another as I have loved you. Because God, he loves people. He loves us. So we should love one another. We should love one another. That is his commandment. Now the word of God tells us, who should we love? We should love God. We should love one another. We should love our neighbour. We should also love our enemies. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, the Lord said, love your enemies. Show love to your enemies. Love your enemies. One of the most loving things you can do for your enemy is to pray for the mercy of God upon them. Because God desires that they be saved, that they repent. So love your enemies. And we should also love ourselves. And because God paid the highest price for us, so we should not devalue ourselves. Because the highest price ever has been paid for us, the blood of Christ shed for us. So love is a powerful force, and it's not something that should be trivialized. It should be seen in the right way. We should love God. We should love these people that we have said, one another, our neighbour, our enemies and ourselves, because this is God's will. So now the question is, what should we love? And the word love is bandied around so much. But we should be thinking about this. Do we really love some of these trivial things? Like you probably say, I love ice cream. Should we love these things? I love my cat. Does the scripture command us to love these things? No, we saw what the Lord said to love. We should love God and we should love others. And what should we love? The scripture says in Psalm 119 verse 140, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. So the word of God. We should be loving the word of God. The scripture. We love it because it is God's pure word. It is something to be loved. It is something to be cherished and valued. It is powerful. So we should be mindful about how we use the word love. We are commanded to love God, to love people, to love the word of God. We should also love God's ways and God's things, for example, the church. The church, the people, because we are the church. So we should be loving the word. That's the scripture tells us that. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. We should love God's word. It is his word given to us. We should love the word of God. What is the greatest expression of love? In John 3:16, the scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the greatest expression of love is giving. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave, you see. He gave. God loved us, so he gave the Lord Jesus Christ to be our substitute and to redeem us. So what is the greatest expression of love? To see love expressed, it is giving. Giving. Giving your time, giving your good word, giving your blessing, giving the things that God has put into your hand, giving your help. The greatest expression of love is giving. Firstly, giving your life to God. The greatest expression of love is giving. What are the characteristics of love? Well, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and let's see what the scripture says. Now remember that charity is love in action, and the Lord says, above all, put on charity and have fervent charity. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, let's look at what the Lord says about charity, love in action. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. So he says in the word of God here that if you do not have charity, you are just like a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, just words, just noise, no actions to back it up. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, And though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. You see, it has to come out of charity. It has to come out of the love expressed, the love in action. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. So you can see the qualities of charity. Love in action. It's long suffering. It's kind. It does not envy others. It does not envy. It doesn't vaunt itself. It's not puffed up. It's not conceited. It's not puffed up. And verse 5, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. So it behaves godly. It is expressed in godly behaviour. It is not expressed in a selfish behaviour. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. So it's loving, kind, patient. It thinketh no evil. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. So it doesn't rejoice in iniquity happening to other people. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Charity never faileth. So charity will never fail. You will never fail to do the will of God when you act in charity. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. So if we look at what are the characteristics of charity, we've seen that it is long-suffering, it is hopeful, it is patient, it never fails, it is kind, it is not selfish, it seeks the good of others, it is not conceited, it is shown in godly behaviour, it is not evil, easily provoked, and it thinks no evil. In Romans 13 verse 10, the scripture says, love worketh no ill to his neighbour, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Love worketh no ill to his neighbour. Love worketh no ill to his neighbour. Love is not selfish. People who act in love will not hurt their neighbour through their words or actions. They will not hurt their neighbour through their words or actions, because love is not selfish. Love is the fulfilling of the law, and it will work no ill to its neighbour. Do Christians have love in their hearts? Well, Romans 5:5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So the answer is yes. Christians have love in their hearts. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We have love in our hearts. Christians have God's love in abundance in our hearts. We have God's love in abundance in our hearts, and it should motivate us. It should motivate everything that we say and everything that we do. It should motivate every thought that we have, because we have God's love shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Can Christians always walk in love? Can Christians always walk in love? Can we always do it? Well, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So can we always walk in love? Yes, we can. Because we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. And 1 John 4:4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We have the greater one in us. We have God's love in us. So we can always walk in love. We have the Lord in our hearts and can do all things through him. How are forgiveness and love connected? In 1 John 3, verses 21 and 22, the scripture says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So if we're walking in love, we're going to be people who forgive wrongdoing others have done to us. If we have unforgiveness in our hearts, we are violating the commandment of God, who said to love and who said to forgive. So, and that will condemn our hearts, because we know that we are sinning against God, holding unforgiveness. This is important. But if we have forgiven, then we are cleansed. If we have forgiven others, we have laid it all before God and we do not have our hearts condemning us, then have we confidence toward God. And our faith is not hindered. Our faith is not undermined by our disobedience. Forgiveness clears the way for us to continue to obey the command to love God and others. Forgiveness clears the way. Even if someone has done us a terrible wrongdoing, we still have to forgive them, because that is the command of the Lord. Forgiveness is about us. It's about us. God doesn't want us hindered. It also can be important for others, particularly if they seek our forgiveness. But primarily, God wants us to forgive because he doesn't want anything that's tainting us. He wants us to have a clear path to do the will of God, not hindered by unforgiveness. And Mark 11:25 says, and when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. You know, because if we don't confess unforgiveness before God, then that's going to be a hindrance. It's going to be a sin. It has to be confessed, and we have to forgive others. Forgiveness is not on the basis of feelings, but of faith. Christians should forgive by faith, even if they don't feel like it. We might not feel like forgiving somebody, but we still have to do it by faith. We still have to say before God, I forgive that person. Even if you just don't feel like doing it, we still have to do it. I forgive them. And that's dealt with then. Can fear and love coexist? Fear and love, can they coexist in our hearts? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. 1 John 4:18. So can fear and love coexist? Fear and love cannot coexist, because love casts out fear. Love, remember on Sunday's sermon we were looking at this, resist fear. We have to actually take a stand and resist fear in the name of Jesus and say, fear is not a part of me, I have love in my heart. I love God, I love His word, I love others. I will not fear. I will not fear. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment, and God does not want us in torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love, because the fear is something that is not of God. So God doesn't want us to hold on to it. So He wants us to walk in love and doing these things, forgiving others, loving God, loving our neighbour, loving our enemies, loving ourselves, loving the Word of God, resisting fear, and walking in charity. Now let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to You and we thank You for teaching us about love, for teaching us about charity. Lord, and we thank You that it is the bond of perfectness. We thank You that we have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. Lord, may Your love be expressed through us greatly. In Jesus' name, Amen.